The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, talkers and talkettes, and welcome. We made it to the weekend. It is Friday, September 20th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for being here. We got a jam-packed show for today. We're going to get through the last of our video replays from the Boston Freedom Rally. We've got a great couple of speeches. After 3 o'clock on Sunday, we got a lot of smoke coming up there, don't we? 3 o'clock on Sunday, we had kind of a free speech event because they shut us down. They wouldn't give us any permits past 3 o'clock, but that didn't stop us from speaking and exercising our First Amendment rights. You'll get to see Keith Saunders from Mascan Normal. He gave a great speech out there at the gazebo, and my speech out at the gazebo as well, where I talk about your civil rights and how they're affected by the war on marijuana. And it's kind of an interesting camera angle, so you'll have to appreciate it for the audio. But I hope you enjoy that speech. That's coming up in the Radical Rant section. Keith Saunders' speech will be in the Behind the Headlines section right after our 420 Radio News. And in the 420 Radio News, big headline for today, you know about Attorney General Eric Holder making it so that people that were charged with crimes that would normally be a mandatory minimum sentence under our drug laws, well, he's making that retroactive. He's going to make that so it applies to people who have already been charged, already been busted. And this is great news for our friends who are facing federal charges here in Oregon for the dispensaries they are running. It means they will no longer be facing the possibility of those mandatory minimum sentences. We'll get that news to you right after the first break. Our guest today for our Cannabis Community Chat, we've got Betty Aldworth from the National Cannabis Industries Association. She's going to talk about the situation in Denver where they're attempting to pass taxation on recreational use of marijuana. And, of course, today is Rockin' Friday, so Herb Thrasher's going to be calling in. He's got a great tune for us from Bison Bison to talk about. We'll also talk about tonight's upcoming live edition of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, where just a block away, literally a block away from us when we're doing the show, the star of Flash Gordon, the 1980 movie with the Queen soundtrack, Sam Jones, is going to be a block away from us. We're going to see what we can do to perhaps, maybe, get Flash Gordon on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour live. We'll see what we can do. We still got to work out some tech on that. Anyway, we got a great Russ Belville show for you today. Thanks for joining us. We're so glad you're supporting us. Check out 420radio.org. Become a VIP member supporter. And check out our store. I just uploaded the brand new 420 Radio drug test for Excel. Download it and play the game today. We're back with the news right after this.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow.
Bon Jovi, and I've been given a script to talk to you about drugs, rock and roll, having fun, a good time, and all that good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, drugs is not a part of my everyday routine. It's not everyday fun. It's not good for you. All right, so listen, think twice before you do drugs, because there ain't no women out there doing it.
This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, September 20th, 2013. I'm Russ Belvel. Holder makes new drug sentencing policy retroactive from thenewsherald.com. Attorney General Eric Holder Jr. said Thursday that he has directed federal prosecutors across the country to review and possibly refile charges in ongoing drug cases so that low-level nonviolent offenders will not face severe mandatory sentences. The policy change will be applied to suspects in drug cases who have been charged but not yet tried, as well as to individuals who have been convicted but not yet sentenced. The directive does not affect offenders already sentenced or serving time in prison. As part of a sweeping new policy shift, Holder announced last month that in future drug cases, low-level, nonviolent suspects would no longer be charged with offenses that impose severe mandatory sentences. The new directive marked an expansion of that effort, ordering U.S. attorneys to apply the policy retroactively. Dispensaries wary of fully legalizing marijuana in Arizona, from azcentral.com. Medical marijuana dispensary operators are apprehensive about plans by a powerful marijuana advocacy group to campaign for full legalization of the drug in Arizona. The Marijuana Policy Project, a Washington, D.C.-based organization, may have a tough time selling their plan to the state's medical marijuana dispensary operators, who are capitalizing on the growing market, have invested thousands of dollars to get up and running, and say they favor the status quo, a system in which doctors must recommend cannabis for medical purposes. Some of the other dispensary operators said they are concerned about their financial investments and question how legalizing recreational use, which could increase the number of dispensaries, would impact their bottom line. Any efforts to further loosen Arizona's marijuana laws will be opposed by law enforcement, said Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery. Quote, "When it comes to alcohol and tobacco, we've legalized those substances and we've shot ourselves in each foot," he said, "and we've run out of feet. So we've shot ourselves in the head," end quote. Intuit's Super Bowl ad may go to an advocate for legalizing marijuana, from businessweek.com. Someone at Intuit had a clever idea. Instead of spending marketing dollars to promote the company's own brands, which include popular small business accounting software QuickBooks, Intuit would buy a Super Bowl ad slot and give it to a small business owner. Intuit invited small business owners to post online videos sharing their company's stories, then asked the public to vote for their favorite. Currently in first place, Normal, a nonprofit that wants to make marijuana legal. That doesn't mean a pro-pot message will gain airtime on Super Bowl Sunday. For one thing, the selection process includes a panel of judges that will evaluate applicants on criteria, including passion and authenticity, as well as the popular votes. California mom lied about her children's drowning to cover up marijuana grow, from New York Daily News. A California mom was arrested for trying to cover up a small pot farm inside her home where her two children drowned, police said. Tassie Behrens, age 27, was collared at a local motel on Thursday after investigators determined the La Mesa woman lied to authorities about where she found her two children submerged in water on May 13th, NBC San Diego reported. Behrens raised suspicions when she and a friend drove the children, 16-month-old Harley Bradford and her 2-year-old brother Jason Bradford Jr., to a firehouse instead of calling 911. The medical examiner's office wrote in its report, quote, "It was like that the mother fabricated the incident location, telling detectives the drowning happened at an East County mobile home park to divert law enforcement away from illegal activity," end quote. When police found the Sunset Avenue home where the children had actually drowned, they discovered marijuana plants and growing equipment. Boise County marijuana bust yields 40,000 plants, from the Idaho Statesman. State and federal authorities say they have discovered and destroyed more than 40,000 marijuana plants and arrested 5 people suspected of running the illegal growing operation in 2 locations in Boise County. The Boise County Sheriff's Department described the illegal growing bust Thursday as the biggest ever in the county, with an estimated street value of nearly $100 million. Four of the suspects are identified by federal officials as Mexican nationals. Complaints filed Thursday in U.S. District Court in Boise allege the defendants knowingly manufactured, distributed, or possessed with intent to distribute marijuana plants. Three also face federal weapons charges. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, September 20th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we return in our Behind the Headlines segment, we feature a speech from Dr. Keith Saunders, PhD, from MassCanNormal at the Boston Freedom Rally after officials had cut the power at 3 p.m. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs. Lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs. Home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs. Get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs. We've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
To 420radio.org. Get a little fiery.
Hey, sit back, relax, and have a puff or two. 'Cause all we really trying to do is get high with you. That's just how we do. Sit back, relax, and have a puff or two.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And in today's segment, we're spending our last day reviewing video from the Boston Freedom Rally that took place last weekend. The first two-day rally. And to compromise and get the 2 days, they had to cut off at 3 p.m. on Sunday. We continued with some free speech.
$100 civil fine. It is not a crime. It is not a misdemeanor. It is an infraction. Your dog has a shadow on the ground and you didn't pick it up. If you behave nicely, you shouldn't have to worry about it. That is, if you behave with respect, and we have shown through the years that despite what the prohibitionists said, if marijuana was ever decriminalized, we'd lose control in society, kids would be smoking pot on the school bus on their way to school, and the Freedom Rally would become some gigantic, chaotic thing. And it didn't. What happened is the police stopped arresting people. And it's amazing. Nothing really changed. People still showed up. People still smoke marijuana. It's instead of getting arrested, getting fingerprinted, getting a mugshot, getting a criminal arrest record, then we end up in a situation where you get just a fine. And once you pay the fine, there's no record of your fine. I know, because I intentionally got fined at Faneuil Hall on April 20th, the first year that it was decriminalized, 2009. I paid the fine, and then a year later I decided I'm going to do some investigative work, and I looked to see whether I was cited that day. There's no record of it. So it works.
People love the money.
However, still having people fined is not really respecting what marijuana does for people, that it's safer than alcohol. One of the reasons why the city of Boston and the police department wanted to prevent Sunday altogether is because of the cost of having the police in the common. There's a Red Sox game today. They're playing the Yankees. I didn't hear about any fights, anybody throwing up on their shoes, any aggression because somebody was wearing the wrong shirt at the wrong place that happened over 2 days of the Freedom Rally.
Yeah.
The only people who have ever been arrested at the Freedom Rally have been arrested on nonviolent offenses. We've never had an act of violence. Ever. 100,000 people, 30,000 people, 200 people crowded under two tent floats, pouring rain outside, the two cops on detail sit in their car and look at us smoke pot. The freest Freedom Rally ever in 2004 until 2009. 2012, we passed medicinal marijuana.
Yeah, we did!
Ow. Once again, it's a compromise. It doesn't get us all the way there. In fact, it's severely flawed.
I have fibro, thank you!
If you're going to have an effective medicinal marijuana law in the condition of otherwise having prohibition, you have to allow for patients and caregivers to produce enough for themselves. Whether you sell it in dispensaries or you give it away in collectives, they have to be able to produce enough that they themselves can do it. And under the caregiver law, first, you gotta find a caregiver, they gotta invest in the grow system, the operation, all that other stuff. They gotta find clones and seeds that are medicinally viable. They have to produce it. And then they have to harvest it, cure it, and then get it to their one designated patient. Right? One patient per caregiver. Right? The day that a dispensary opens up in Massachusetts in their county, they're not allowed to grow anymore. Nobody gets a caregiver. The caregivers are being instructed to take the patient's money and go to the dispensary and use your caregiver proxy identification to legally purchase medicinal marijuana and then drive back to their house and give it to them.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's not freedom.
Yeah, no, it's not freedom. It needs to be fixed. So even though we get these reforms, we still have to be active in fixing them. We can get a legalization bill, and I'll tell you, out in Washington State, I-502 is divisive. It's great. I've smoked legal marijuana. I haven't bought any yet. I know the day is going to come when I can. It's awesome, but... it's not quite there because there's restrictions on it. But like here in Massachusetts, if I share a small amount of gram with a friend of mine, I'm committing a crime. In Massachusetts, it's been found you can pass a joint, you can pass a bowl, you can pass a small amount of marijuana to someone else, and it is not distribution. This was recently found by the court. Right? Yes. For us by our decrim law, but our decrim law still has shortcomings. Anybody who got arrested for simple possession of less than an ounce got arrested. That means they have a quarry. That's on their records. You go back into their history, 2004, 2007, 1992, 1986, 1968, they got arrested in Massachusetts for possessing a joint or a bowl here on the common. That's still in their arrest record. If it's not a crime now, you can get rid of the consideration of it being a crime at all. Yeah. So we need to work on quarry. We need to work on medicinal. And we need to get a legalization law that works for people. Right? We need a law that will allow for consumers to produce their own cannabis like they produce beer. I'm allowed to brew beer. I'm not allowed to distill alcohol. I'm not allowed to brew tremendous amounts for commercial distribution without a license. But I'm allowed to make my own in my house and keep it and drink it and share it with my friends. The same model needs to work for cannabis. You can buy your distillates. You can buy your carefully measured and controlled safety-tested brownies and ingestibles, where you can buy your waxes and so forth, where you can buy whatever it is, your infusions, right? Anything where there's a distillation. But anything that's produced raw, without chemical alteration, like bubble hash or old-fashioned, grind it between your hands and make hash out of that, that should be fine. Right? Flowers should be fine. There's no reason you shouldn't be able to grow flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can you make flowers illegal? So anyway, we are going to stay here. We are going to continue to occupy this park.
Great speech there from Dr. Keith Saunders from MassCan Normal. How can you make flowers illegal? Indeed. In fact, let's take some of these flowers and see what we can do with them. We'll be right back. Stick around. Herb Thrasher's next.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Funky roller ring.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Ring.
Oh, yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
It's always a party at the Funky Roller Ring.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody, horns up. Time for us to rock. We got Herb Thrasher on the line. How you doing, Herb?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Another beautiful Friday. Feel like the long, tiresome summer season's finally coming to an end. Feel like we've got to kind of just get back into some regular fall activism and football now.
Speaking of football, my Boise State Broncos play against Destruction's Fresno State Bulldogs, who made the top 25. They got Boise State's spot.
They do play tonight, the Friday night game. So we'll be giving you updates for their Thrash Flower Hour as those come in. Will we get to watch it? I can't remember if you get that or not.
I'm going to see if I can get the Xfinity Comcast thing to go up on our screen while we're rocking out.
There you go.
Hey, so, and in other news, just a block away from here at the Roseway Theater, not only are they showing 1980s movie Flash Gordon for the Rose City Comic Con, but Sam Jones, Flash Gordon himself, will be there just a block away while we're doing the show.
Dude, you've got Flash Gordon coming to your house. What are you talking about?
What?
I was called Flash Gordon until probably, I would say, the 7th or 8th grade. That was my nickname growing up.
Well, all right.
For those that don't know, I am Herb Thrasher, but I have a last name of Gordon. And so,
there you
Flash
go.
Flash Gordon. It is. There you go. A little trivia.
Very cool.
So, yeah, that'll be cool. Maybe we'll get him over there to come burn one with us.
That'd be all right with me. Hey, we got some great rock that we're going to be doing tonight on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Anything you can tell us about it?
Man, we're going to get back to some jams. There is so much new music out right now that we can't even possibly get to it in a whole episode tonight, but we're damn sure going to try to get to some good tunes and play. And speaking of new tunes, we have a new band here in Portland now, and they're called Bison Bison, and they're out of the St. John's, Portland area, and they started around 2011. And three guys just really got a great thing going, really groove-based riff rock, kind of 70s blended with this nebulous sludgy kind of doom of today with the stoner rock. And so they've got this great sound, and they've played shows around the area, starting to get more and more up in there. They have a EP that you can find on Bandcamp, bisonbison.bandcamp.com, and they're selling it for $7, and it's a self-titled album. Good five or six songs on there, and this right here, what we're about to see, is Waiting for Saturn, a video that they just filmed within the last couple months, filmed around the Portland area, and as you can see, zombies are taking over, and they freaking like to rock, too. So you guys turn it up. Join us tonight for Earth Thrasher Flower Hour at 8 o'clock on 420radio.org and keep up all that great work. Stay free, guys. Turn it up.
All right. Horns up. Thanks, Earth Thrasher, and Roll Tide. We'll see you. Music from Bison Bison, Waiting for Saturn, shot right here in Portland, Oregon. Thanks to Herb Thrasher. We'll have that the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight at 8 p.m. Make sure you join us live tonight. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I watch MTV all the time. They have the Rock Against Drug commercials, that whole campaign. And these guys have, like, you know, slid into fucking school buses and killed 20 children. You know. Rather than face a license, they made a public service announcement. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. I love these guys. That is like, hello. Listen, don't get caught with drugs or you'll have to do a commercial just like this one. I think I found the message. The message is don't get caught. Rock Against Drugs. What a fucking name. Somebody was high when they came up with this title. Yeah. It's like Christians Against Christ. Rock created drugs. What are they talking about? They go together, folks.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everybody. Half past the hour, and joining us on the telephone from the National Cannabis Industries Association, we have Betty Aldworth on the line. Betty, welcome to the show.
Hey, Russ. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here, because you're one of the experts I really wanted to talk about. You were very instrumental in the campaign to get Amendment 64 passed in Colorado, and I was wanting to get your take on how things have gone so far in its implementation.
Well, Russ, as you know, we won't see actual stores here open in Colorado until January 1st, but it looks like we're on track in Colorado to see that happen in early January.
Excellent.
In the meantime, though, we've developed a pretty extensive set of rules and regulations to run those shops, and people are getting ready for that process. And in the meantime, no one in Colorado over the age of 21 is being arrested for use or possession of less than an ounce of marijuana. So that's a big victory.
That's, of course, the best news of all. Now, you spoke of the rules and regulations that are being promulgated and worked on there for the industry. Can you give us a few examples that the industry people in Colorado are going to have to abide by?
You know, I'm not really intimately involved with the development of the rules themselves. I'm working more on federal policies at this point. But I do know that a lot of those rules are very similar to what we've seen for medical marijuana in Colorado. So extensive security in facilities, background checks for operators, and other ways to ensure that, criminals and cartels aren't involved in legitimate business, as well as, lots of detail about how these businesses can operate and what it's going to cost and what the limits are to those operations.
Is that going to include, to your knowledge, any restrictions on advertising?
That's a great question. I have to assume that that's the case. Generally, a lot of the rules and regulations that are coming out across the nation related to adult use or medical use of marijuana do have some sort of restriction on advertising. Whether or not that's a good idea is obviously a hotly debated question.
Yes.
But, what I can say as a person who is a strong advocate for normalizing marijuana in American culture and recognizing that it's safer than alcohol and ought to be treated similarly is that, one of the really important things I think we need to do as an industry is be as responsible as we possibly can in our advertising by not creating ads that appeal to children, by not being, insulting to women in our advertising, things along those lines.
Do you think that's
there's a lot of room to do great, cutting edge advertising.
And I'm wondering, is that something that NCIA is advocating for, trying to get these industries to self-police themselves with regard to the taste of their ads and the appeal of their ads?
Yeah, so NCIA does a lot of work around educating people, business owners, investors, entrepreneurs, and the like, on how to be responsible operators in their system. We bring in experts across the nation to talk about the various applications of the law in those states, and we also bring in experts on marketing and public relations to talk about how you can build a strong brand even within limited advertising space, and how you can build a strong brand without using offensive or otherwise inappropriate imagery. So that's something that we provide. Absolutely.
Excellent. Now, I want to talk to you about federal policy since you're working on that. But real quick, we do have a question from our live chat room. How do you all wanted to know what the rules are or will be for cannabis tourists in Colorado? Any difference?
I think that if I remember correctly, people without a Colorado state issued identification will have to purchase smaller amounts of marijuana, but it's not egregious. I distinctly remember that it was something that seemed reasonable. So if you're coming to Colorado, you're an adult 21 and over, you can walk into one of these stores after January 1st. You can make a purchase just like a Coloradan would, perhaps in a smaller amount, and you can use marijuana privately, just like a Coloradan would be able to.
Absolutely.
Please come visit.
If I remember correctly, it was something like a quarter ounce for the tourists and a full ounce if you lived there. Whatever the amounts are, it was less for the tourists. But it did not change the fact that you're allowed to possess up to that full ounce.
Right. That's exactly true. It is a constitutional right of any adult in Colorado to possess and use, of course, up to an ounce of marijuana or marijuana products.
All right, let's talk about the federal policies. The big news that's happened recently, of course, is the judiciary hearings and Eric Holder, our attorney general, saying on one hand that we wouldn't prosecute or use mandatory minimum sentencing by redirecting prosecutors to not file charges in a certain way. And of course, the big memo on August 29th saying that so long as Colorado and Washington and the other medical marijuana states create programs that follow 8 federal guidelines, they're not likely to interfere. Let's go with that last one first. How much stock and trade do you put into the promises of the Attorney General, especially after the 2009 Cole memos with respect to, or Ogden memos with respect to medical marijuana?
I think that it's only prudent to be cautious, and let's not forget that, you know, when someone is getting involved in this industry, or even as a consumer, either a client or a patient or an adult consumer in Colorado and Washington, we are still breaking federal law. That being said, the American appetite for punishing people for using marijuana is gone. There's no question about that. And given that, the Justice Department seems to be acknowledging that the best way to keep this product out of the hands of criminals and cartels, stop enriching them, and start realizing some real public safety benefits is through regulated markets. Do I think that the Justice Department is really excited about this idea? No. But in states like Colorado, Arizona, and others where we see very tightly regulated markets, we also see a very limited amount of federal interference. And finally, for the first time, the Justice Department has very specifically outlined the eight boundaries within which we must all operate. If we can manage to do that, then I think that we can, we have more. We can rest a little easier. We can breathe a little easier. Is it perfect? No. Is our work done? Not by any means. But I think that as long that the Department of Justice has finally given us some clear boundaries, let's stick within them. And I suspect that for the most part, we will find a positive result.
We're speaking with Betty Aldworth from the National Cannabis Industry Association, and you're in Denver, Colorado. Is that right?
I'm based in Denver. Yep.
Excellent. And could you give the website for NCIA for folks if they want to get some more information on your organization?
Sure. We've got tons of information at thecannabisindustry.org.
Excellent. Thecannabisindustry.org. Check that out. Now, maybe it's just too many years of reporting too many people being busted and I've become too cynical, but when I read the memo from August 29th, and a couple of the points in it were that we had to work to discourage interstate trafficking and to keep marijuana out of the hands of minors. And I stopped to think that, you know, even a teenager in a dry county in Oklahoma can get his hands on a beer if he really tries. So are these guidelines just setting us up for failure so the feds can then come in and say, well, we told you so?
Well, listen, Russ, I mean, a teenager in Oklahoma can also get his hands on marijuana. And that's always been the case. So I think that the Justice Department, just like anybody else, recognizes that there's some margin here for human behavior. And I mean, they must, right? They know as well as anybody that marijuana is readily available for youth and adults across the nation. Otherwise, they wouldn't be, they wouldn't be taking the stance that they're taking now. I think that it is incumbent on industry to make sure that we are doing everything we can to educate consumers about the possible ramifications of things like illegally crossing state lines while carrying marijuana, or diverting to youth. You know, what we've seen in places like Colorado is that with a regulated market, youth actually declines. And, you know, our argument throughout the campaign, and my strong belief still, is that a regulated adult use market in Colorado is going to lead to further decline of youth use of marijuana in Colorado. And I think that, you know, if any reasonable and honest look at data after a handful of years is going to recognize that, sure, you know, of course kids are still using marijuana because that's what they do. But perhaps it's less, and let's be honest about the positive effects of this regulated market. In a few years, I think that ultimately we're going to find a net social good.
Yes.
And I hope that the Justice Department recognizes that too. And again, you know, I mean, of course we have to be careful. We looked at the Ogden and Cole memos in 2009 and 2011 and, you know, thought that there were reasonable assurances, but there are still people being punished across the nation. Mm-hmm. We always have to be wary and always have to recognize the risks.
All right. And I wanted to ask this question. We did a story today coming out of Arizona where dispensary owners, medical marijuana dispensary owners, were wary of the legalization campaign being kicked up by Marijuana Policy Project, basically fearing the threat to their bottom line. We saw this kind of opposition to legalization going back to 2010 from dispensary owners in California who were lining up against Prop 19. And in 2012, dispensary owners in Washington State lining up against I-502. Does NCIA have a way or a guideline or something to try to heal this rift between what seems to be medical dispensaries that end up opposing legalization campaigns?
You know, we don't take any position on specific state initiatives because we work on helping people become better operators after a state law has passed and helping them improve their effectiveness and sustainability and responsibility once industry is in place in the state. That being said, we also firmly believe that, you know, a regulated marijuana industry is preferable to an underground market. And, you know, that's an argument that you'll hear NCIA making frequently. Of course, any dispensary owner is welcome to take whatever position they want. But I think that there's been, and you know, perhaps I'm being naive here. In Colorado, we had a great deal of support from industry when we were working on Amendment 64. And in Washington and even in California in 2010, it seemed like the opposition was limited to a handful of extremely vocal, extremely media savvy people who were able to generate interest that went perhaps that was larger than their numbers. In fact, I haven't read that article yet, although I am familiar with it because a dispensary owner from Arizona sent it to me just a few minutes ago saying, I spoke with this reporter for 45 minutes telling her how excited we were about the possibility of reaching more people with this healing herb. You know, huh. So it's hard to say what the real viewpoint is of every operator of these facilities in Arizona, in Washington, in Oregon, in California. But I think that we would be wise to take articles like this with a grain of salt.
All right. Well, thank you for that perspective. Betty Aldworth from National Cannabis Industries Association. You can check them out at thecannabisindustry.org. Thank you for all your hard work, and we'll see you in Denver in October.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show.
All right, when we come back, more Boston Freedom Rally video with my pants.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Seven major party candidates to run for president, three of the last seven vice presidential candidates, and the last three presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, after the power went off at the Boston Freedom Rally on Sunday, we continued with open free speech, just using our voices. Here's me losing mine and a camera shot of my pants while I tell the story. So enjoy this speech. I call it the pants speech.
From places that are lush and green like Denver, Colorado and Seattle, Washington. I was actually in Seattle the night of the election when marijuana became legal there, and then the next day was on a plane to Denver and marijuana was legal there. It was just an amazing time to know that you could fly to two states in America and weed would be legal when you got on the plane and weed's legal when you get off the plane. Woo! Difficult fight, unlike the fight for, say, civil rights in, you know, the black community, Latino community, the gay community, is that a lot of our community's underground.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of our community can't come up to the surface. I like to call us the iceberg of marijuana. Most people outside of our, you know, realm only see the very tip of the iceberg. Hippies and dreadlocks and piercings and stuff. The artists, the musicians, the people who either have nothing to lose or are self-sufficient enough that they can go ahead and express themselves without worrying about losing a job. But below that waterline are the teachers and the plumbers and the librarians
and the politicians
and the police officers who smoke marijuana and want it legal but are afraid to be out here and be open about it because they fear for their job or their security clearance or their kids or their property or whatever it might be. So first of all, give yourselves a hand for celebrating this because you're open and honest, coming out and showing that we're decent, law-abiding, except for maybe one law, but law-abiding citizens that pay taxes, go to work, raise their kids, and so forth. And the other thing I like to point out is sometimes when you're a marijuana activist, there's kind of this attitude from some people like, oh, legalizing pot. Oh, yeah, you just want to get high. Yeah, that's how cute. Why don't you work on something important? You know, like curing cancer or ending crime and poverty, solving the energy crisis. And that's when I say,
yeah, right.
I am. That's exactly what I'm doing. Marijuana, THC, has been shown in petri dishes since 1974 to kill cancer cells. Every diesel engine on this planet can run on hemp seed oil with no conversion whatsoever. Hemp plants take in carbon dioxide that's heating up this planet. Hemp seed is the most biologically nutritious food you can give to a human being. I am working on those problems, and so are you.
Yeah! Spread it!
The other thing about this is I always like to point out that this is a civil rights battle.
Yep.
And it's very hard. It's very hard to point out any other issue that affects the Bill of Rights, all 10 of your basic rights under the Constitution, more than the drug war. Let's tick them off, shall we?
Yes, we
Number
shall.
One, First Amendment. Freedom of speech, we're doing that. Freedom of assembly, we're doing that. But in Washington, Colorado, they're talking about restricting the freedom of speech of the businesses that sell marijuana as regard to their advertising. I haven't seen Budweiser or Viagra been restricted in their advertising. But marijuana has to go under special rules. First Amendment, freedom of religion. Unless you're a Rastafarian, because your sacrament's too popular.
Or a Thelemite.
Freedom of the press. How many different outlets that have tried to tell the truth about marijuana? High Times and the Daily Doobie. The government tried to put them behind the counter like porno. Because, God forbid, the kids see a pot plant. They might think it's natural. How about our Second Amendment? The right to bear arms. Unless you're growing pot or possess pot, because they're not allowed to have firearms, because they're drug addicts. In my home state of Oregon, we had to fight all the way to the Supreme Court to allow medical marijuana patients to merely have a concealed weapons permit. Not even the weapon necessarily, just the permit. They were trying to shut that down because of federal law that says you can't give firearms to drug addicts. Medical marijuana patients, people. Your Third Amendment right is the right to not have soldiers quartered in your home during wartime, except under law or under peacetime for any reason. Okay, so they haven't violated that one. But they can put a GPS device on your car in your private driveway if they suspect you of being a marijuana grower with no warrant and without telling you. So that seems to me a little worse than putting a soldier in my home. That's somebody tracking my everyday movement. Fourth Amendment right against search and seizure. What do you think a drug test is but search and seizure?
Yeah.
How about the people who are patted down on a stop and frisk in New York who lose their Fourth Amendment rights day after day after day for the mere smell of marijuana? Fifth Amendment, your right against self-incrimination. Well, what's a drug test but you incriminating yourself that you committed the crime of using marijuana? Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial. Roger Christie, an activist from Hawaii, is in jail now for going on 4 years with no bail because he ran a pot church. Like he was some big kingpin dealer. He ran a pot church. 4 years without a trial so far in a holding cell. They won't give him bail. Seventh Amendment is your right in civil suits. If someone does you wrong, you can sue them. How do you sue your dealer when he shorts your bag? You can't, because it's an illegal market. In a legal market, if someone shorts my bag, I can call Weights and Measures to come in there and bust them or revoke their license. Eighth Amendment right is the right against cruel and unusual punishment. Richard Floor, Montana medical marijuana patient, arrested for running a dispensary, was not given the medication he needed, died in a prison cell. Jonathan Magby, Washington, D.C. medical marijuana patient, was not given the medicine he needed to survive, died in a prison cell. What is more cruel and unusual punishment than putting someone in a cage over a plant the Founding Fathers grew?
Thank you.
Your Ninth Amendment right. Your Ninth Amendment right is one that a lot of people don't know. It's one that says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights is not meant to disparage or deny the rights otherwise held by the people. Let me translate from 18th century. What they were saying is, just because we wrote down a bunch of shit, that doesn't mean that's all your rights. We can't write them all down. The right to breathe air, the right to have sex, the right to eat a delicious meal. They couldn't write it all down. And I think if we're a country founded by hemp farmers, how could there not be a natural right to farm hemp? How could a bunch of guys running an agrarian economy built on agriculture, farming hemp, requiring hemp as payment for taxes, How could they possibly imagine that anyone would deny that? They didn't write it down because it was absurd. That would be like denying people the right to drink ale. It would have been just as absurd to them. And finally, the 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment is the state's rights. The rights that are not eliminated in the Constitution are reserved for the state or to the people. 20 states now have said we're going to allow medical use of cannabis. 2 states now have said we'll allow adult use of cannabis. And finally, our Senate, our government has heard us and has said we're going to allow this to go on. But it hasn't gone far enough. All 10 of these rights are under attack as long as marijuana is illegal. Medical doesn't go far enough. Decrim doesn't go far enough. Until a joint is no more big a deal than a can of beer, we are not truly free.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Walking through the Boston Freedom Rally, we are about 5 minutes before the official start time, 12 noon. Got the smell of cinnamon roasted almonds. Oh, I love that smell. Kush Groove Clothing Company. There we go. We've got a lot of great vendors here. A lot of clothing vendors. Some glass. Some tapestry. It's a beautiful time here. Nice day, kind of. Partially cloudy, a little bit of a breeze, but it's a very nice day. There's some beautiful art. This there's a couple of booths here with some just amazing art prints. Some clothing.
Hey, check, 1, 2. Center focal, check. Check, 1, 2, hey.
Heavy duty clothing there.
Check, 1, 2, hey.
Vaporizers are making their way out here to the East Coast. I've heard a few people talking about using concentrates. They seem to be focused on the CO2 concentrates, though, here. That's what everybody seems to want. Here's the volunteers for MassCan. Woo! Green team. Party. It's a great look for the shirt this year, I think. That's beautiful. 24th annual Boston Freedom Rally. Normalize Massachusetts. The work starts now. Boston Common. High noon. Very nice. Oh, look. I bet my name's on there somewhere. There I am. I'm right there. What a great lineup. Thanks for having us out.
These are $2 a pop.
All right, continuing our walk. French fries, corn dogs, elephant ears.
Cool.
Got the hot crescent over there. This guy's got amazing liquid volcanoes. With an apostrophe S. Something belongs to the volcanoes, I understand. Well, there you go. A look at the Boston Freedom Rally on Sunday. That video you just saw was before noon, and then the video before that was after 3, the video of my pants. Lively Libra in the chat room says that she's got a full version of that with a better framing and better audio. So we'll get that online for you, as well as all the other videos that we put on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/radicalrust. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you check out 420radio.org and become a VIP member. We are listener supported. We can only go to these events and bring you live free coverage thanks to your donations. And thanks to our new sponsor, Lush LED Lighting. We'll be telling you more about them on upcoming shows. For everyone here at 420radio.org and the Russ Belleville Show, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it, you